14th chapter of John. I want to read again, as I did yesterday and the day before, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. John 14, beginning at verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, and I will come to you." Verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The next chapter, the last two verses. Chapter 15, verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." In the next chapter, chapter 16, beginning at verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. And whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." Now the Holy Scriptures, said this yesterday and the day before, the Holy Scriptures are the peculiar province of the Holy Spirit. In their production, we dealt with that the first day, and in their application, that was yesterday's subject, and in their interpretation. The following thoughts concerning the interpretation of the Scriptures. The Scriptures are inseparable from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you look at all the various cults and the various false doctrines that are going about the world, you notice that many of them quote Scripture. And they point out the Scriptures and they say that is the authority for our particular belief, like the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses or Christian Science and a whole lot of other people. Why is it? They all have the same Scriptures, and yet they're all in error. Well, I'll tell you why. It's because they do not rely upon the Holy Spirit for their interpretation of the Scriptures. When unregenerate men take the Word of God and attempt to interpret it, they invariably fail. They invariably get the wrong idea and the wrong interpretation. Mr. Robert Little, when he was here, he said some very significant things. One of them was this. He said, nobody will know what the will of God is for themselves unless they are prepared to obey it. Now that's very true. God does not make known His truth and His will in order to add to your stock of knowledge. If you're prepared to do the will of God, really prepared in the sight of God to do the will of God, He'll reveal it unto you at the right time. But not unless you're prepared to obey it. Now that's very true with regard to the interpretation of the scriptures. You can go to as many seminaries and as many colleges as you like. You can have an extensive library far in excess of anybody else. You can have as many degrees, as a friend of mine used to say, as a thermometer. Yet not know the true interpretation of the Word of God. You can know all the languages, ancient and modern, and not know the true interpretation of the Holy Scriptures unless you are prepared to bow your heart and mind to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Now remember that. Because that explains why there are so many false doctrines. Some of them even deny the very existence of the Holy Spirit. And yet they seek to interpret the Word of God. Now God reserves the right to interpret His own Word. When you come to the Word of God, remember that. He is the one who reserves the right to tell you the true interpretation. Now the Reformation, the 15th or 16th century, is supposed to have given to every man the right to exercise his private judgment in the interpretation of the Holy Scriptures. But actually no man has that right. No church has that right. As I said before, it is the prerogative of the Spirit of Truth. And He's very jealous of that prerogative. Peter wrote this, I'm quoting, I'm going to make some quotations from the Revised Standard Version today. So if I quote it a little differently than you're familiar with, that's the answer. First of all, Peter wrote, first of all you must understand this, wrote Peter, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now on the day of His resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ, in view of the committing to the apostles of the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, He gave them two valuable, invaluable gifts. First, He opened unto them the Scriptures. Now remember, the Lord Jesus Christ did that. What a wonderful Bible reading those people on the road to Emmaus had. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself opened unto them the Scriptures. And then, later, He did something else. He opened their minds. He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ did that. He opened the Scriptures to them and explained a great many things probably they'd never heard of before. And then He gave them the capacity to understand those Scriptures. Now that ministry which the Lord Jesus Christ started, those two gifts, opening them unto them the Scriptures and opening unto them open their understanding, was turned over, you might say, to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, and I read it a few minutes ago, He shall teach you all things. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. And then he said a little later on, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now that is the ministry and the prerogative of the Holy Spirit of God today. Now in fulfillment of this latter prediction, the Holy Spirit has shown in the Word of God the intimate connection between the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He did that in the Gospels. You have the Gospels is the ministry, the work of the Holy Spirit, where we find the account of the coming and the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the epistles where the Lord's heavenly ministry and its relationship to the whole of Scripture is made clear. One of the titles which the Holy Spirit gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, he called him a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Right throughout the Gospels, you know, particularly in the Gospel of Matthew, you have that phrase, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And that occurs very frequently. And that phrase covers all the ministry and the activities of the Lord Jesus Christ from his birth right unto his ascension. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ regarded the Holy Scriptures as his credentials. For all that he said and all that he did, he was continually referring people to what the Scriptures said. And it wasn't until all things were now accomplished that he bowed his head and said, it is finished, or it is fulfilled. And he gave up the ghost. Now the Holy Spirit is the one who interprets the Old Testament Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ presented himself to Israel as the interpreter and the interpretation of the Holy Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, he said. You remember that? Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. He presented himself as the interpretation of the Scriptures. And we know perfectly well that if you leave out the Lord Jesus Christ, the Old Testament Scriptures is a mysterious closed book. The Jews today refuse the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet those very precious Scriptures of the prophets written by Israelites are a closed book. Because they have not the interpretation. And they don't want it. The result is they remain in ignorance. The Holy Spirit's ministry is necessary for a true understanding of the Scriptures. Paul reminds us that unto them, unto Israel, were committed the oracles of God. What a wonderful trust they had. unto them were committed the oracles of God, and yet their minds today are blinded to their truth. They remain in ignorance of those scriptures. They're not able to understand them. They're not able to interpret them. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote concerning Israel and the scriptures which were in their charge, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. The veil is upon their hearts. Which veil, he says, is done away in Christ. When we have Christ and when we have the interpretation of the Spirit, reading the Old Testament, then we see the beauty and the glory of the Word of God. Even until this day, Paul says, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, that is, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And how true that is. Even though a Jew comes to know Christ, then the Old Testament scriptures become a living word. Now they said to the disciples at Emmaus, the Lord Jesus Christ said, O foolish men, you remember, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now there's no doubt whatever in my mind that those things which the Lord Jesus Christ taught those disciples on the road to Emmaus were afterwards brought to their remembrance by the Holy Spirit and incorporated into the New Testament scriptures. The Spirit of Truth continued the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in presenting Christ as the interpretation of Scripture, identifying the living God with the written Word. Now following are some of the truths which the Holy Spirit in the New Testament made clear. Now just imagine, to get the true significance of this list that I'm going to read off to you, you've got to realize that in the days of the apostles, there was no New Testament. All that they had was the Old Testament. And if you try to understand the Old Testament without the New, as I say, you're just puzzled. You don't know what it's all about. Now, these are some of the things that the Holy Spirit made known to us in the writings of the New Testament concerning the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit gave us the full revelation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which the Old Testament didn't do. The Holy Spirit made known unto us the eternal purpose of God in Christ, including the taking out of the nations of a people for his name, and the establishment of the Church of Christ, the calling and the mission of Israel is made clear in the New Testament by the teaching of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has made it clear how it was that God's promise to Abraham, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, how that was fulfilled in Christ. One very important thing, series of things made clear to us by the Holy Spirit, was the significance of the ceremonial law. when you try to understand what the ceremonial law and the system of sacrifices, as we have it in Exodus and the Leviticus, when we try to understand apart from the teaching of the Holy Spirit, it just makes no sense whatever. But when we have the instruction of the Holy Spirit, and when He has shown that those things were figures of the true, and shadows of good things to come, then every sacrifice has a tremendous significance, because every one of them point to the ministry, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And then we have the fulfillment of the messianic promise. The Israelites look forward to the coming of the Messiah. And they're still looking forward to His coming in darkness and ignorance, but the Holy Spirit has made it very clear that the Lord Jesus Christ was the anointed prophet, the anointed priest, and the anointed king. He is the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was the one who made that clear. The Holy Spirit has made clear that all the promises of God and all those wonderful prophecies find their fulfillment in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we have the wonderful revelation of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, obtained by faith through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things are instances of the interpretation of Old Testament scriptures by the Holy Spirit. Now let's look a little at the impartation of spiritual discernment. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did when He opened the understanding of the apostles, made it possible for them to understand the scriptures. If He had not done that, they had no other way of obtaining that discernment. And as I said before, the world today, particularly the educated world, the accomplished world, the world who are full of their own ideas about things, they think they can come to the Word of God and interpret it, and they look into it, and they think that if they can't see something, then it isn't there. But the Holy Spirit reserves the right to impart to those whom He will, and only those, the gift of spiritual discernment. Now, sometime after the walk to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus said to His disciples, "These are My words which I spake unto you while I was still with you, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then it was that He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Now, as I said before, that particular endowment to the capacity to understand spiritual truth is now in the gift of the Holy Spirit. But because it is in the gift of the Holy Spirit, it is the heritage of all those who receive the Spirit, and all those in whom He dwells. Herein is fulfilled the Lord's promise concerning the Spirit's ministry of teaching and of guidance unto all truth. Now, writing on this particular theme, and there's a good deal of it in the New Testament, in contrasting spiritual understanding with the wisdom of this world, Paul, in the second chapter of Corinthians, the chapter which is full of significant teaching on this very subject, and I commend it to you, Paul speaks of the hidden wisdom of God. It's hidden because he chooses to reveal it to whomsoever he will and those only. And we read there a remarkable thing, that that wisdom was decreed before the foundation of the world for our glory. Now that's a remarkable statement. The hidden wisdom of God was decreed before the foundation of the world for our glory. That is the glory of the people of God. How God regards that wisdom is shown in many portions of Scripture. Listen to this. A very familiar portion, but remember that it's about his wisdom and his knowledge and about these very things that I'm talking about. You know this scripture, wonderful doxology in the 11th chapter of Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. Unsearchable. Because if he doesn't reveal it, you can't find it out. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For of him and to him and through him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And then in the Old Testament we have something of the same kind. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And then we have that incomparable statement of the Apostle Paul when he spoke about the unsearchable riches of Christ. When you think of these things, and when you realize that they mean exactly what they say, and they're not in the least bit exaggerated, one wonders why we spend our time on the things of earth and the concerns of this world when there is so much of glory and of beauty to learn at the hand of God. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, he has hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. In the second chapter of Corinthians tells us that had the princes of this world known the wisdom of God, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The knowledge of the things of God would have prevented them from making that great and terrible tragic mistake of all mistakes, the crucifixion of the Son of God. How we should value the things which the Holy Spirit is ready to reveal to us. Just as soon as we're ready to occupy the position of those who are willing to be taught. Now, in the second chapter of Corinthians, we have a portion there, and this portion is very often misquoted and misunderstood. I'm going to read it from the Revised Standard Version. Yet it's very important, as all scriptures are very important. I'm going to read this in the Revised Standard Version. 1 Corinthians and 2. This is what he said. None of the rulers of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now it goes on to say, as it is written, what no eye hath seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, God hath revealed to us through the Spirit. King James Version says, I hath not seen or ear heard, neither it hath it entered into the heart of man what things God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, most people think that refers to heaven. They think, my, we don't then know the glories of heaven. Beyond our imagination. Well, the glories of heaven certainly are beyond our imagination. But this scripture has nothing to do with that, because it goes on to say in the next verse, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. God has revealed unto us the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fulfillment of that word which He said, He shall glorify me. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Oh, God has a tremendous lot to teach us. But we're dull of hearing. We're not willing to take the time to read His Word and to be instructed. And the result is, we're spiritual paupers, many of us. Spiritual paupers. Now these infinitely valuable things of which the Lord Jesus, of which the Holy Spirit spoke there, what no eye hath seen, nor ear heard, nor hath the heart of man conceived, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, by the Word of God, and in the Word of God. But the understanding of those things is confined to those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now we have received, said the Apostle Paul, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. Now that's as clear as daylight. Then, concerning His own ministry, He says this, we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting. And this is of great importance, interpreting spiritual truths to those who possess the Spirit. Now, if there's anybody here who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll think I'm talking a lot of nonsense. They won't get a thing out of it. But if there's any here who possess the Spirit of God, and I hope and believe that that includes all of us, if we have the Spirit of God, we are capable of receiving the things of the Spirit, capable of understanding them. And that is spiritual discernment. And so the Apostle said, he interprets spiritual truth to those who possess the Spirit, and they only. Now this is a truth concerning how the Spirit of God interprets the Word of God to those in whom He dwells, imparting the gift of spiritual discernment, enabling them to enter into the fullness of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge which are ours in Christ. No wonder the Apostle Paul says that I may know Him. He says, to me to live is Christ. Just Christ. Somebody might say, my, that's a very narrow way of looking at things. Plenty in this world beside Christ. Yet the Apostle Paul says, to me to live is Christ. His whole life was Christ. You ever know anybody whose whole life was business? You ever know anybody whose whole life was music? You ever know anybody whose whole life was sport? We do. We know people like this, don't we? You ever know anybody whose whole life was Christ? Now when I concentrate my efforts in life and all that I am on music or business or any of these things, I'm narrowing my capacities down to a very small compass. But when my life is comprehended in the world, Christ, why, he is the infinite one. In him is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him dwells all the fullness of God. And so I am enlarging my capacity. And that's the minister of the Holy Spirit to show you all the glory and the beauty there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the world knows nothing of it. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. All these things are shut out, and he has to concern himself with the things of the world, which can never satisfied. Now the last word in the second chapter of Corinthians is a very beautiful word and a very significant one. He says, but we have the mind of Christ. Now the mind of Christ is one of those marvelous things which God has reserved for those who love him. Actually, our minds under the operation and the dominion of the Holy Spirit, we are able to think the same thoughts which our Lord Jesus Christ thought when he was down on earth. The very things that he thought, his very mode of thought. They have the mind of Christ. Remember, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit wants to fill you. And all those holy and righteous and pure thoughts which occupied the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth are yours. Your right, your birthright. And you may have your mind filled with those thoughts by the operation of God's Holy Spirit. We have the mind of Christ, enabling us, as the Apostle John wrote, to walk as he walked, and to think as he thought, and to act as he acted. And that's glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's another portion of scripture in the gospel, in the epistle of John, the second chapter of the first epistle of John, which deals with this subject in a beautiful way, slightly different than the apostle Paul speaking about it in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says this. I'm reading again in the Revised Standard Version. I write this unto you about those who would deceive you. But the anointing which you receive from him. Now here the Holy Spirit is spoken of as an ointment, as an anointing, as a sweet fragrance. Now that's a beautiful figure. The holy chrism. You remember in the tabernacle service that holy fragrant oil which was used to anoint priests and prophets and kings, a holy oil reserved for that purpose, picturing the Holy Spirit of God. He speaks about the anointing, the unction. The ointment. He says you have the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. That is the Holy Spirit of God. Comforting our hearts and glorifying our Lord Jesus Christ. He who is our teacher is the holy ointment. And the apostle goes on, you have received from him, abide in you, and ye have no need that anyone should teach you. That is, anyone of this world. That doesn't mean to say that we are not to be taught through God-anointed teachers who have the Spirit. It doesn't say that at all. It doesn't mean that. You have no need that anyone should teach you, that as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true, and is no lie, just as it or he has taught us, abide in him. That Holy Spirit will teach us particularly about the capacity of remaining true to the truth of God. He speaks about deceivers, false teachers, that are all capable of falling into the trap of false teaching if we neglect to be taught by the Holy Spirit, by the Word. And that's what he says. That Holy Spirit, that anointing, that sweet fragrance, all these words describe the gracious Holy Spirit. Now, possessing such a source of instruction, why we should never fall. We impart this, the Apostle Paul said, in words not taught by human wisdom. The Apostle Paul says you don't need to go to the world. You don't need to the wisdom of the world. You don't need the book learning that belongs to this world. You have the Holy Spirit. You need not that any man as such teach you. And so he exhorts saints to walk in the Spirit, for he is truth. And all those who know him and abide in him need not fall. And so that's about all I have to say about the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Not that I have covered the subject completely by any means. A great deal more to be taught even concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But maybe it's enough to whet our appetite. Now, in the will of the Lord, I propose to speak tomorrow on the 28th chapter of Exodus, where we read about Aaron's four burdens, pointing beautifully to the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest. That 28th chapter is one that I'm very fond of and is very instructive. So if you like to read it, you get a little foretaste of what I'm going to say tomorrow concerning the ministry of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we commit our way to thee. We thank thee indeed for the precious truths of the Word of God. We thank thee, too, that thou hast given unto us thy Spirit, in order that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God, give us teachable spirits. Give us hearts ready to hear thy voice. And give us wills that are obedient to thy will, that we might know thee better, and that we might love thee more, and that we might serve thee more faithfully. We commit our way to thee. And thy blessing be upon us, and our loved ones, and all those who abide in this place, in the name of our Lord Jesus.